Like a church that whoops. It's good. No, down, actually, down. If that's all right. I was just going to, this is a little bit, well, is that going to stay, is it? Yeah. Lovely. Great. So, great to be here with you this morning. Isn't the sun nice? Yeah. We like the sun. Yeah. It lulls you into a false sense of security because you think, oh, the sun's shining. I'll not take my coat. Bad mistake. But I do love the sun. It's been a great weekend. And we don't want to go on about it, but what a Six Nations it was yesterday. Superb. Have we got any Welsh people here, just out of interest? I'm proud. No, I want you to be proud. Just defeated, but... but you, yeah. That's desperate. But anyway, we're not here to talk about the Six Nations, though it's always worth a reference. But what we are here to do is, we're going to do something a little bit different this morning. Is that all right? Good. I'm not on Facebook, by the way. I'm just pulling up my notes. What we're going to do this morning is something a little bit more interactive, not in like a crazy embarrassing way where you've got to turn to each other and talk to each other or anything like that. We don't want to talk to each other, do we? But just something that will hopefully help you kind of begin to think a little bit more about the people that are in your sphere of influence who don't know God at the moment. And I know you've been thinking a little bit around this thought in your 40 days of prayer. So if you can remember back to that page, can you remember that page? Okay, so we're going to be able to incorporate this a little bit and make it look like we have seamlessly organized things, all right? But we have seamlessly organized things. And then we're going to kind of begin to just have a little think a little bit more around the whole thing about praying for our friends, praying for ourselves in evangelism and sharing our faith. And do you know what? I maintain that whatever level of faith you have, give it away. So I actually might be here, it might be that you're here this morning, and maybe you at this moment in time aren't a Christian, but you're here. Okay, so you could encourage other people to at least have a closer look at the Christian faith. Give you an example of that, a friend of mine called Pete Very. Pete Very wasn't a Christian. In fact, he was an atheist, full-on atheist. And if he was here today, he'd tell you this story that he believed in all the, and I won't even begin to show my ignorance here, but he believed in all the great atheistic philosophies and philosophers and read all the books and was as committed to atheism and as evangelical about atheism as I am about my Christian faith. Okay. His wife, who wasn't a Christian, challenged him one day. She wasn't even a believer. She said to him, do you know, Pete, you've already made up your mind about the Christian faith. But if you actually put as much research and reading into looking into the Christian faith as you do your atheism, she said, then I think that'd be fairer. It's a challenge, isn't it? But you hate it when your wife's challenging you, and they're right. Happens a lot in my house, to be fair. But so actually, I know loads of people who are not yet Christians who have invited their friends along to different things that I've been speaking at, A, because they've enjoyed it, and B, because it's helped them in their search to kind of make sense of life. How many of you know we need to make sense of life? Okay, and these particular people have found that the Christian faith has helped them a little bit, even before they've necessarily committed their lives to Christ. So actually, this hopefully will relate to you wherever you are. So let me tell you about Dougie. Can I tell you about Dougie? Good, it's the right answer, because otherwise we've just got nothing to do for the next 4 or 5 minutes. But let me tell you about Dougie, and let me tell you about Howard, the stories interlinked. So Howard and Dougie became quite good friends. They weren't like friends originally, but every single morning, pretty well, apart from when he was on his holidays, Dougie would come to Howard's house. It's not because he had an affection, it's because he was the postman. And so I hang up. No, but every single morning, Dougie had come and he'd bring his letters. And just over a period of time, Howard got quite chit-chatty with Dougie. They got to have a kind of postman stroke household owner relationship. And that went on, and they chit-chat quite a little bit. And then they discovered, just as they chit-chat, that both their children were at the same school. So they got to know each other even more, and Howard eventually would invite Dougie in for a cup of tea occasionally because, you know, the posting of the letter took a little bit longer as they got to chit-chat, chit-chat, chit-chat. I don't know whether the other people in the street were happy about that, but be that as it may, when first-class post slips into second, you get upset, don't you? But anyway, this kind of transpired and got it. Eventually, they actually became quite good friends, so to the point where they would arrange, if one of them was struggling a little bit, to pick each other's children up. Standard practice with parents at school. When you get to know each other, you kind of you help each other. And so this kind of developed over time, and they became quite good friends. All because they created a little bit of space in their lives. So, one particular time, Howard said to me, "Oh, Mark, would you come down to my church and do your making a meal of it weekend or event?" Let me tell you about what making a meal of it is. It's, you don't need a degree to work it out. Okay, we have some food, and then I do some kind of talk after it. Does that make sense? Do you feel that's really brought some light to the proceedings? And so it's really simple. And the whole idea about making a meal of it is not that we ram the Christian message down people's throat, but it's we just have a bit of a laugh, a bit of fun. I throw a few things out for people to think about the Christian faith, and then there's an opportunity, if people want to find out more, to tie up onto something like the Reason to Believe course that I run with you folks, or the Life Series that I run, or Alpha, or Christianity Explored, or all these various courses that are out there. So that was the idea. So I said, yeah, I'd love to come down. So I went down, and Dougie is invited by Howard to come along to the curry night, men's curry night, okay? Now, the women always get upset because they like curries, all right? And I understand that, but it's not for debating it this morning. Have you had that, have you? What? They're having a curry night. Were you going to have like a posh pudding night or something? Sack the health and health. Oh, we don't want to make our feet. No, we want to sweat with curry. That's what we want to do. Anyway, so for this particular occasion, we were having a men's curry night. And so Doug comes along, and a few other guests come along, and we filled the Indian restaurant. It was fantastic. And I do my little chit-chat, chit-chat, chit-chat. Doug actually becomes a Christian in an Indian restaurant. Now, I maintain that's about as good as it gets to me. Yeah. A nice curry, talk about faith, some Diet Coke, and it's all good. It's all good. And Doug becomes a Christian. The problem is Doug's going, "Oh, no, I'm really excited this has happened. How do I tell my wife?" This was on, I can't remember the exact days, but let's say it was the Wednesday of the week, just for the sake of the narrative, okay? So Doug becomes a Christian on the Wednesday. He's thinking, "I'm scared of telling my wife, because she didn't want anything to do with church." He's actually having a mild panic inside. Okay, so now let me just work this out. I think it's the Saturday evening, is it? Don't matter. Let's say for sake of argument, it's a Saturday evening because it happened a long time ago. One of the events that we're doing is a thing that we call Life is a Cabaret, where I bring a load of my mates in who are phenomenal entertainers, and they use it to present the Christian message. And we do like a full-blown show. I mean, it is full-blown show. And then I do like a little chit-chat about life is a cabaret. Old chum, come to the cabaret. I think that's the lyrics, isn't it? All right. So I do a little chit-chat, chit-chat, chit-chat about at the end of that about faith and God and life and all that kind of stuff. All right. Now, Dougie has invited his wife because he's thinking the best way for me to get my wife along is for her to come and enjoy the evening, because even though she doesn't do faith stuff, if she enjoys the evening, then that kind of helps a little bit. All right, so he invites his wife along to the cabaret, okay? And now, this is the bizarre bit, all right? This is on the Saturday evening. On the Friday evening, Dougie's wife has a dream, and I'm in it. Now, some of you are thinking, "I know where you're going. I know what you're thinking. That's no dream. That's a nightmare." That's what you're thinking. And it's worrying that you laughed so much because that actually means that what I thought you were thinking is actually what you were thinking, okay? But be that as it may, she has this dream about me where I'm saying, give your life to God. Do it now. Do it now. And you're right. So come to the cabaret, right? I'm up doing my little talk, saying exactly the same things that she saw in her dream. She'd never met me before. She'd never even seen a picture of me before. And what she actually saw, I mean, everything, sideys, the whole shamazzle, everything. Not the thinning hair, because I'd had a little bit more then, okay? But she saw me. Even, she said she saw the purple lights shining on me. I thought that meant angels. I was a little bit giddy with excitement, but it wasn't. We had purple spotlights on the night. So I'm a little bit disappointed about that, that I don't carry this angelic host everywhere I go. Okay, but everything that I said, everything that she saw in that moment, even the point where I was looking right at her, and apparently I looked right at her in the evening, she becomes a Christian on the Saturday night. She's now thinking, how am I going to tell Dougie? It's beautiful, isn't it? And I loved, like, Dougie was telling me his invitation to his wife to come to the cabaret on the Saturday night. It was like this. It went a little bit like this. Love, I thought we'd go out on Saturday night. Oh, lovely. Where are we going? Well, I've organised babysitters. Oh, well done. That's great. Where are we going? I thought we'd go to a cabaret. Well, that'd be nice. What sort of cabaret? Oh, you know, a cabaret. Because he's a bit scared about mentioning anything to do with God. All right. And what was, where's the cabaret? Oh, it's in town. Well, whereabouts in town? Oh, in a building. Well, what sort of building? A building that can do a cabaret, love. Just stop asking so many questions. Okay. So he writes so long. And I loved it on the Sunday morning when they both woke up. Almost immediately at the same time, they invited each other to church. I just loved it. I absolutely loved it. And when I listen to those stories, they encourage me. They really, really do. Because they remind me that God's at work. Now, we don't always get quite that kind of seismic story and narrative that we know of. We don't know about many of those. Now, Lord, please, let's have more and more of those. But those are out, kind of, not outstanding, because everybody who comes to faith, their journey's outstanding. What I'm trying to say is, those are like the big, the magnificent. They don't happen every day of the week. Well, certainly not in my life, but I realize I'm only a mere minuscule of a spiritual man, whereas you're all much more spiritual than me. Clearly, this happens in your everyday life. I realize that. But I was just really impacted by this. And what really impacts me about it is you've got Howard taking the time, just as a mate, no agenda, as a friend, building up a relationship with somebody that he just meets almost every day. I've come to realize this, that acquaintances happen, friendships are built. Acquaintances happen, friendships are built. Any friendship that's worth it, you build it, don't you? And it takes years, doesn't it? You know, and it might not necessarily be that it's an intentional build. It's almost a coincidental build, isn't it? But actually, it does take a lot of time to build a good quality friendship. And sometimes, for those of us who are Christians who are maybe acutely aware of the fact that we're not friends with many people that aren't, sometimes we can be a little bit like guilty of just expecting it to happen overnight with our friendships and not really kind of be prepared to put in the space and the time. And sometimes with our friends, we invite them to things and they might not come. But maybe it's because we haven't spent a lot of time with them, building genuine quality friendships. I'm just putting that out as a bit of a backdrop for you as we go through the session that we're going to go through now. Just have a quick look at, if we can put up on the screen, John 4 reference. That's brilliant. John 4. I love this passage. Me and John were talking about this. This has got us both. And I've got to be really disciplined because I'm not here to preach a sermon per se this morning, but it's so hard because there's so much good stuff. But look at this. John chapter 4, verses 29 and 30. If you've got your Bibles, please turn in them or hit your app or do whatever you do. And before I read this, let me just give you a little bit of a narrative background. Jesus is chatting to a lady. He's tired. He's shattered. It's as tired as he was from the journey. Jesus sat down, asked for a drink. The disciples had gone to buy some fruit, so he was tired, he was hungry, he was thirsty. And so he's chilling out a little bit, and he sees this lady who comes out to grab some water from the well, and he says, "Oh, would you give me a drink?" Now, I love this. This is where Jesus shows he's very normal. Because before he did anything for this lady, which you'll see in a few moments' time, he asked her to help him. Sometimes as Christians, we're so almost like we've got everything that everybody needs that we don't feel that anybody can give to our life. And here's Jesus, tired as he was from the journey. He needs something very normal. And before he does anything for her, he says, "Would you give me a drink?" I love that. I love that. And that's real community, isn't it? That's real relationship. That's real connection. Not where I feel I've got to do everything for everybody, but where I allow other people to do something for me. Stops you burning out, doesn't it? Stops you burning out. When sometimes, like Christians, they're stress heads, aren't they? Have you noticed that? It's like we're manic. We should be the most chilled out people on planet Earth. And sometimes we're the most stressed people on planet Earth. We really, really, we should be the most relaxed and chilled out. Anyway, go be disciplined, John, because I can spend a lot of time on every verse here. So she's had this massive moment with Jesus where she says in verse 29, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Now, I've had a little look at the conversation. He didn't, did he? He didn't tell her everything she ever did. But somehow in that conversation, she's thinking, "Wow, he really knows me." Somehow in that brief moment in time, he seems to hit a few things on the head. He seems to have an insight which he speaks into. It's what you and I might call, for those of you familiar with Christianity, prophetic. It's like said very little, but said so much. "Lord, please help us to be more like that in sharing our faith with our friends, that we say little, but what we say really, really matters." Whereas if you're anything like me, you can gob on a little bit. Yeah, you can chit-chat maybe a little bit too much. So moving on quickly. Again, got to be disciplined. Then look at verse 39 with me. "Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did." She said it again. She said it again. "Come and meet a man who told me everything I ever did." And then it's referenced a little bit later on. So this is incredible for me. I've looked at the Bible. I don't think you can find in the Bible a single conversation that Jesus has with one person that has the kind of impact this conversation has. Many Samaritans believed because of that one woman's testimony. Friends, might I suggest to you that actually we've got potential to influence so many people with our story. We undervalue our story. We say things like, let's say John said to one or two of you, we're going to have a little special service on Sunday where we're going to make it a little bit more, where we're going to kind of present the Christian faith. I wonder whether you might share your testimony. No, not me. I haven't got a testimony to tell. Yeah. And by the way, if that is you, come and see me at the end. I'll lead you to Jesus. Because if you've met Jesus, you've got a testimony. The problem is, we think, what we mean is, I haven't got a potential Hollywood blockbuster film. That's what we mean. That's what we mean. But you know what? The strength of your testimony is not how bad you've been, it's how amazing he is. Yeah. That's the strength of our story, ladies and gentlemen. And if we put the strength of our story in anything else, then it's a weak story. The strength of our story is how amazing he is, not how bad we've been, or even how good we've been. So, many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. Then they said, and I love this, look at verse 42. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of what you have said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Now here's an interesting thing. Answers on a postcard for this one. The lady said to him, to the crowd, come and meet a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? So she's asking a question. Maybe she's not even fully decided in her heart at the moment. I don't know whether it was a rhetorical question she was asking. But what's fascinating for me, she said, could this be the Messiah? Now, for those of you familiar with this, you'll understand. But maybe for folk who are not familiar, the Jews were expecting this Messiah to come and basically rescue the Jewish nation. They were expecting somebody of a more kind of military kind of stance. All right. So I haven't got too much time to go too much more into that. But what I'm saying to you is they weren't expecting Jesus. They weren't expecting Jesus. And in fact, Jews to this day still don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Some would, and they become Christians. They're called Messianic Jews, just in case you've ever heard the phrase. A little bit more complicated that, but that's a snapshot of what that means. But she says to them, could this be the Messiah? Here's interesting. They have come down now. They've not believed just because of her story, but they believe because they've experienced for themselves. But the language changes. We have now heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Not just the Savior of the Jews. The Savior of the world. It's interesting when you start to just pause and slow down as you go through some of the passages in the Bible, things. It's funny that, isn't it? When you slow down, the Lord speaks to you. Because sometimes it's easy to race through these passages. So I want to encourage you to tell your story and invite people that you meet, not to an event, though yes to an event, but I'll explain why in a few moments' time. But invite them on a journey to discover Jesus. And this is a great reminder, this passage. She didn't say, hey, come along to the temple. She said, no, come and meet a man who told me everything I ever did. Why we do all the events that we do is because we want to introduce people, not to the church, not that the church is a bad thing per se, but we want to introduce people to Jesus, don't we? So that they connect with him. And, oh, please, please, we pray that they become part of the church, because actually, that's where you grow the best as a Christian. You know what it's like when you meet like-minded people? You feel brilliant, don't you? And that's the whole point, that we might not be like-minded about a lot, but we're like-minded about the faith. And that stirs us up. So it's not a replacement, I'm not saying that. But we do want to invite people on a journey. So whether it's a bowling night or a men's curry night, women's curry night, didn't even breathe then. Or just a curry night in general, a generic curry night, open to anybody. Or is it open to anybody or is it just a women's one? All right. Oh, I'm seeing where this is going. No. Whatever we're inviting them to, we're saying, hey, come and meet a man. Come and meet a man. And sometimes the way people meet the man, Jesus, is by meeting us, just being around us and creating that space. And that happens by come and meet, but it also happens through go and tell, doesn't it? By us going out there. So that's like the sermon bit kind of completed, all right? Some of you are going, oh, great, I'm for an early lunch. No, not great. Got a few more things to do. But I want to now help you to think a little bit more about the people that you meet and how you can begin to pray for them. Now, this is not replacing the three names at the beginning of your 40 days of prayer book. It's running alongside those, but maybe getting you to think about some of the acquaintances that you meet around you and who you could maybe begin to influence towards thinking about God. So I've got some stuff here. All right. I'll put that there. Right. What I'm going to do, we used to call them monitors when I was at school, but can we have some monitors? Would you be so kind as to give one to everybody? Would you be so kind? Thank you. And then I'm also going to give you some post-it notes, and I'll tell you why. If we send the post-it notes along, could you take two post-it notes. Oh, lovely. Could you do that? That's brilliant. Thank you so much. Okay? Two each, yeah. Two post-it notes each. That'll be fantastic. Grand. Brillsville. Thank you very much. Okay. Oh, pens. You need a pen. Now, can I just say something about these pens? Okay. These are mine. Hashtag just saying. All right. And I think you know what we're saying, don't you? Yes. That's exactly what I'm saying. Thank you. Whoa. Somebody's just gone over the line. I love it. I love that. Just whilst you're getting your big pens, did you know the average big pen will produce enough ink to write for 3.1 miles? That's not you walking, that's the actual ink. Don't you feel better for knowing that piece of information? Okay, lovely. So, those pens you for you to borrow for a short term. That's lovely. Right, okay, so, no, that's fine, don't worry. Right, oh, look at that, it's up there, that's superb. Right, okay, so, the reason I've given you a post-it note is because there are two types of people in the world when it comes to filling in things. The first type of person is the person that fills it in on impulse and then wishes they hadn't later. Okay, anybody like that? That's me. That's me. You knew that, didn't you? Okay. The second kind of person is the kind of person who likes to take 3 years and then they will fill it in, but it'll be fairly accurate. Okay. So have we got any of those people here? All right. Okay. Lovely. Superb. So the post-it note avoids it going wrong for both those types of people. Okay. There, I'm so on it. So what I'd like you to do, take your first post-it note, and if we can move the next slide along, that'd be fantastic. Okay, so take your first post-it note and stick it on the left-hand panel where you see it there, okay? Look at that visual demonstration for you, eh? I've even curled up the edges. Okay. And the second post-it note, look at that. Fantastic. Stick on there. All right? What I'd like you to do is spend just a few minutes. I'd like to encourage you. You may already have got this, and that's fine. If you've already got this, put their names on. I'd like to encourage you to begin to think about getting together with two other people and praying for your friends that don't know the Lord, and all your acquaintances, and all the people that you have some kind of connections with, okay? So just on your first post-it note, just jot down any names that you think, yeah, I'd be up for that. That would be fantastic. Don't worry about the how you're going to get time to do that. I'll give you some top tips on that in a second. But would there be any people, it might be in your community groups, what do you call your groups, your midweek groups? It might be DNA groups, people in there. It might be just the people that you meet with regularly. It might be a spouse. It might be somebody that you've... Oh, we've got a bit of lift music. It's lovely. I like it. It might be somebody that you've never really prayed with. You think, oh, this is a great opportunity to kind of get to know somebody new. So just take a few minutes to do that whilst we have some ethereal music in the background. It's beautiful. I thought that was some wind effect, did you? It's the geezer at the back. I'm thinking, you're on another level. It's just like, whoa, come Holy Spirit. Yeah. I'm slightly disappointed it's only the hot water heater. So no kind of commitments to this. Maybe take it home and think about it a little bit more. But then the next post-it note there is, I'd like you to begin to think about your friends. Friends who you would love to see come to faith. Now, you've already got, is it three names you've been praying for? So you can put those down on there anyway. That's absolutely no problem. It's, as I mentioned earlier, this is not a replacement for that. It's running alongside and incorporating that. But it's beginning to get our gaze to a slightly wider sphere. So just spend a few minutes doing that. Okay, I'm going to give you a few more minutes. It's nice to have coffee as you're speaking, isn't it? Keeps the preacher awake, if not everybody else. Okay, perfect. Does anybody look at that, by the way, and think, I need to get out a lot more? Yeah? It's true, isn't it? We need to get out a lot more and spend a lot more time with people that don't know the Lord. Now, please, what I don't want you to do is suddenly go, oh, I need to start meeting with more people just so I can share my faith with them. That's not what I'm saying, because that's an abuse of friendships, isn't it? That's saying I'm only building relationally with you so I can hit you with the gospel or invite you to an event. It's not what I'm saying. But it does sometimes make you go, oh, I really need to be out there a lot more. And it's lovely when you look at the life of Jesus. There was some intentional places he went to, but a lot of the time he was just spending time with this lady. He was just spending time with her, and out of that came this amazing conversation. So, yeah, I don't just suddenly begin to build to preach. Just begin to build relation and just be out there. And actually, do you know what? I work on the basis God's already at working people. And it's amazing how many times I have conversations with people that I haven't orchestrated. It's just I've created time and space for it with my friends. And so I can only speak from my own personal experience. I would encourage you to begin to do the same. Okay, so here we go then. You've got these, the names of the people you're going to love to pray for, the names of the people that you'd love to see come to faith. So think about those now that you'd love to pray with. Okay. All I want you to do is begin to think, right, what realistically and sustainably could I commit to with those people? So for me, if you're anything like me, I feel challenged to pray, right, because I know I don't pray enough, all right? My default setting is I don't need to be doing more. I need to be doing less. I, Mark Greenwood, need to pray a whole heap more than I do, all right, because that's my weakness. I'm a doer. That's my default setting. That's just where I go, okay? So I need to learn to pray a little bit more. So my problem is, if I hear the challenge to pray more, I go, yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to get up at 4 o'clock every single day. And I get to Wednesday and I fall asleep, all right? And then I feel really bad and really guilty that I failed so early on. So what I'm trying to do in my life is building sustainable, sensible practices. Because I am a little bit of an addictive personality. I've just started at the gym in January. I had to. It made it sound like I didn't want to. I did want to, but I had to. And I am fighting not going in every single day. Because I know if I do, I'll lose loads of it. I'll get mega, mega fit. Because it's happened to me before many times. But what will happen is it'll become too much of a burden. And then I won't do it. I'll stop enjoying it. And I'll get to another extreme then. So that's my confession, all right? That's my default setting. So what could you sustainably practice in terms of praying for your friends and for yourself? Now, obviously, it's going to be with a conversation with other people. But think a little bit out of the box, okay? What about Skyping? For those of you that way inclined, it would be easy to find 10 minutes once a month on Skype with your two other friends and you pray together, the Lord still answers prayer even though you're Skyping. You do know that, don't you? Yeah? So what about doing that? It might be that you say, no, well, I meet with a coffee for a coffee anyway for these few people that I like. So we'll just, one of those coffee mornings, we'll just have a 10-minute slot. Don't go bonkers. Better to pray long-term, not so regularly, than short-term, and then sack it off. Now, there are times when you have an intense time of prayer, aren't there? An intense time of fasting. But I think building this in as a rhythm, long-term. And what you're actually praying, if we could have the next slide, please, that'd be great. That's the one here. Just on the back of your card, this is not that you've got to pray this, though some people do. That's absolutely fine. But this is just an idea. So, dear God, I pray for... So you'd put the names of the people that you're praying with and myself. Give us opportunities and confidence to invite our friends to events, to share our faith with them. Help us to be bold, sensitive, and authentic. So we're praying for ourselves, okay? And then the next bit is I pray for, and that's where you just put the names of the people on your list, the three that you've already got, as well as others. And it might be that some of them are acquaintances, and so we need to build more friendship with them, like with the postman, for example. But I pray for, list those names, that you will warm their hearts to finding out about you, lead them to say yes to you. Amen. And there's a little scripture. And it's, I put them in there, I deliberately put that you will warm their hearts, because sometimes as Christians, we think it's all about us, and we feel we failed if we haven't led somebody to Christ. But actually, when I read my Bible, it's God who does that bit. I just have this wonderful privilege of being part of that. So I'm getting us to pray realistic prayers, but they've still got faith with them. Okay, so that's the first resource. If there's any questions you have about that, you can ping me an email and I'll clarify. Maybe still work with your post-it notes. Think about two people that you can pray with. Gather together, get some more post-it notes, and then you just fill it in. I think it's obvious on the thing where you put your friend's name. And by the way, it took me ages to work out where the apostrophe goes. It was a nightmare. So I think I've got it right. But anyway, there you go. So, just begin to do that. Now, you don't have to fill in the card ever. It might be that you want to keep just populating it with post-it notes. That's absolutely fine and dandy, as the Message translation says. Right, okay. So we're going to move on to another resource. Are you okay to still keep tinkling? Okay. Well, what I'll do is I've got a little bit of maybe, let's have a look at the time, 5-10 minutes talky-teachy bit, so you don't have to play them. But then would you be happy to come back up at the end? That'd be amazing. Big round of applause for the tinkler. Thank you, sir. Really appreciate that. Right, so what's going to happen now is my two monitors, they're going to do two things. They're going to give you one of these once once you've given your big pen unchewed. Okay. Have you got the box there, John? I thought somebody nicked the whole box then. You can give them one of these on the way past as well. Lovely. Lovely. Were you tempted at any point to chew it? That would have been. Whoa, that didn't take you long. It's not an air bubble wrapperer. Perfect. Lovely. No, I mean, thank you very much. Thank you. That's lovely. Thank you very much. Yeah, well, I tell you what, if we hadn't got more back, we'd have been having a time of communion. So you can't take bread and wine. Suddenly all these pens, a pen armistice, is it they call it, appearing by the side of the bread and the wine. Right, okay. Here we go. So this next little resource. Now, I'm going to fly through this at breakneck speed. Okay, if you don't understand anything I'm saying, then please just raise your hands. We normally do this evening over about an hour and a half, an hour and 40. We take a little bit more time to kind of think and pray and stuff. So, but just for the sake of this morning, we didn't want to take that long, you'll be pleased to know. But what you do is that first resource, I would encourage you just to keep that as a backdrop of praying. Just have it maybe in your Bible or something like that, and just keep that going on. Sometimes, you know, you might add people to it. Hopefully you won't take any off. But just keep it going. Don't be disheartened. Just keep it going. Keep it going over time. Okay, so that's a kind of general background, getting us to pray. And what's lovely is when you see somebody coming to see a man who told you everything you ever did, when you see people to come in to have a look, to have a little investigate, it's really encouraging then for those who are praying with you. This resource here that you've got is designed, you can stick it in your wallet and do what you want with it, of course, but we designed it so it could be kind of just stuck in your purse or in your iPhone credit card slot, okay? But the idea behind this particular resource is this is a bit more specific, and this would be helping us to pray about inviting our friends along to events specifically. Does that make sense? So the first one's just generally praying. This is more specifically about events. Now, what I would say to you, again, just as a reminder, it's not inviting them to an event for an event's sake so we get good numbers, though we want good numbers. This is actually designed, come and meet a man who told me everything I ever did. And I think events play a really valuable part in that journey. Most conversion stories that I hear involved a friend. They reckon about 85%, but involve a friend, but also invite somewhere along that journey a person coming to some kind of Christian event. It could be an alpha, it could be anything, all right? So events are an important part, and what they do is, number one, they enable your friend to hear the gospel in a way that you can't necessarily share it, for a number of reasons. Number one, because of the relationship. Sometimes it's hard to share the full gospel with a friend. It's sometimes going to be really, really difficult. So it takes that unease, and you can chat a little bit about what you both hear. Okay, so it helps in that front. But sometimes through skill. Some speakers are just really skilled because God has gifted them that particular way at presenting the Christian message in a different way. Does that make sense? So events play an important part, and they do two things. The third thing they do, of course, is they help your friends. Now, I have friends, some of whom happen to be Christians, some of whom happen to not be. I don't see a divide between my friends, and I'm sure you don't either. But just for the sake of clarity, it helps those of my friends who aren't Christians to meet some of my friends who are Christians. Now, I'll let you decide whether that's a good thing. It is in here, clearly. So if I think, for example, as I look down at the 2018 events, I think, right, okay, great event for the Purity Brewery. What a great opportunity for your friends who aren't Christians to meet some of your friends who are, just in a normal... Is that a men's event? Soon to be which? She's so on it, isn't she? So she's already clocked. Yeah, that's going to change. That's going to change. But and again, like yesterday, what was it you did yesterday? Bowling. So that's a great event where your Christian friends and your friends who aren't can just be in the same place and see that Christians are really bad losers. So that all these types of events play a different part. And so I've got like three levels of events. I have what I call big yes events, which would be where we might more overtly present the gospel and give opportunity for people to become Christians for whom they're at that place in life. Does that make sense? The second sort of level of events are what I call little yes events, and they're designed for people to intentionally find out more, to investigate, to dig around. So the Reason to Believe series that we did in Costa, Alpha, those types of things, they're like your little yes events where people can come along and just have an investigate and a dig. Does that make sense? That's what they're aimed at. And then we've got what I call the healthy maybe events, which are for people to come along and just have their perceptions changed. They may or may not have some Christian content in them. So it could be that the bowling or the curry or the Purity Brewery, that they could be a healthy maybe event. But the healthy maybe events are basically trying to help people to see, actually, this is all right, to change some perceptions. Half the battle we face today is changing people's perceptions of the Christian faith. And I say sometimes, so my healthy maybe events that I do as a speaker have a little bit of Christian content in. It's a little bit of story. So it might be a curry comedy and Christianity evening. It might be a comedy at Christmas type evening. The idea is that they're just healthy maybe. So people go away thinking, oh, maybe there's something in this. So those are the three types of events. Okay, so when it comes to a bunch of events that you've got lined up, so you might want to take this, have a little look at this, okay? You could even get some more post-it notes and run these two together. You wouldn't get that in your wallet, even if you fold it up, but, you know, you might be able to just kind of begin to look along it and go, okay, those are the types of events for that type of person, that type of person. And then the first little panel here is ask God who you should invite. And when he shows you, pray they say yes to coming, but ask God if there's anyone else. Don't invite them just yet. Okay, and if God doesn't show anybody to you, then invite everybody. Okay, but this is specifically thinking about those that maybe we can be inviting. And then the next little panel, now again, framework, not straitjacket. I designed this so that maybe 1 week you can pray one panel, next week you can pray another panel, but don't be restricted by that. That's a guide. You don't have to. Now, you could do this with your friends in your praying with bit, but it's also aimed at you doing it yourself as well, okay? And in fact, as the other leaflet, the other resource, you can do that by yourself as well. So then we pray for the right opportunity. So ask God what event, what type of event is right for that person, because we don't want to force something down them, but we do want to help them come and meet a man. So what event, Lord, of all these events? Pray for courage to invite the person. Why is it so difficult? It's weird, isn't it? To invite somebody along. It's like you don't get the same nerves when you're inviting somebody just for a quick coffee round at Costa, do you? But all of a sudden when it comes to an event, and I think it's because we don't have a warm connection. That's why I say if we build relationally, Kirk and Kate invite me to loads of stuff. I invite them to loads of stuff. And in fact, Kate and Kirk invite themselves to the events that I'm speaking at because there's just a natural thing happened. So it's not like, oh, I really got to pray about this one now. Just do it. So maybe in some ways, the more you do it, the less this will be important for you. But it's just getting you in that stage. So pray it's natural. We want it to be dead normal, don't we? We don't want it to be freaky weird, okay? And then the invitation. Now the invitation. Pray they say yes again to come in. Make final arrangements and pray they don't change their mind. I would encourage you to arrange to collect people. Now, sometimes we get all spiritual about people changing their minds, and sometimes it is a spiritual thing. But can I be really honest with you? I proper love Jesus and church, but sometimes I think I could really do with staying at home. Anybody else? Good, good. Four of us. The rest of you, what we call liars. and I like love Jesus. I love my church. But there's times we just go, oh, I really want a night in. And I go because I'm committed to the church and I want to support it. Okay? So if I feel like that, and I'm kind of like for it, then how much more potential is there for somebody who isn't connected to church to suddenly go, oh, do you know what, it's been a busy week. I'll just drop a text or I'll drop a call. Sorry, I'm feeling shattered or not feeling 100%. So don't be disheartened by that, because that's like life. Do you not cancel on people? Do people not cancel on you? You don't start doing spiritual warfare in the heavenly realms, do you? Just because somebody's feeling a bit ill and can't make it to Costa, okay? Now, there is a spiritual dynamic as well, so I'm not underplaying that, but what I'm trying to get us to understand is that this is normal and we get a bit freaky about this stuff. Let's remind ourselves we've got to do the best that we can, but we have to trust God to do his stuff. I want to take all the pressure off you good folk this morning. Just do the best that you can. Pray like crazy. Be wise. Be sensible. Put all the right things in the right place. But it has to be down to God, really, to kind of bring the acceleration. And so then the next one is pray they make a commitment. So if we can go to the... Actually, before we go to pray they make a commitment, can you move to the slide that's got an invitation on it, an actual invitation? That's brilliant. Thank you so much. So invitation, be a bit creative, be a bit thoughtful. So what I do, okay, is if I'm inviting somebody for the first time to something, right, then I might take a generic invitation like the ones on the right that the church produce, and I'll stick it in a you're invited type card, and I might make a little card of it. Say, hey, look, at church, we're doing this thing. We'd love you to come along to be my guest. Because most invitations to parties come through an invitation, don't they? So I want to make it a bit more meaningful if we can. If we could just flick through the next three. There you go. That's probably the one that gets the most fruit. All right. But then, look, if most of your conversations are through WhatsApp or Facebook, okay, it would almost seem a bit weird for you to invite somebody through normal conversation. So maybe you could create a Facebook group. Maybe you could set a WhatsApp group up. That if you've been chatting with loads of your friends that aren't Christians, you could set a little WhatsApp group up. Say, hey, any of you fancy coming? We're having a curry. We're going down to the Purity Brewery, folks from our church. So maybe just think a little bit more creatively about how you do it. There's a guy in Newcastle set up a Facebook group for a Reason to Believe course that I was doing up there. One of his mates came along and became a Christian. So it works. It works. And we've got to use the kind of normal channels of life, really. So let me encourage you to just think a little bit more out of the box, okay? So then we go to, can we just flick through to the pray they make a commitment? That's brilliant. Thank you so much. So this simply on the back says pray they make a commitment. Pray they say yes to God. Now, can you see I put BYLYHM there, right? A valid commitment is either a big yes. You realize why I've done it there, because I couldn't get it all in on the card. It'd have all of a sudden been a postcard size, and that would have ruined it. You'd have had to all buy new wallets. Okay, so I thought it was better to go down this level. So pray they say yes to God, but it can be a big yes to God or a little yes to God or themselves, an intentional decision to find out more, or a healthy maybe. And when I do my events, I have these three levels of responses in my talks. And do you know what? All of those are grand. All of those are grand. It takes sometimes years for people to go on this journey to finally decide whether they want to become a Christian or not. So let's not rush anything. We need to allow people, we've got to do people-sensitive outreach. That's what we need to do. And so often, we make it seem like such an easy thing. You know, like, you know, by the way, you know how you've been living your life for the last 50 years? It was wrong. Now start living it this way. Do you know what I mean? And actually, most folk have done a decent job of it, to be fair. So, but what we're trying to say is, look, there is a journey, there is a process that goes on, and all of this stuff has to be informed by that, forgive me. So any decision that anybody makes like that is appropriate. Pray they begin to belong, be part of the church. People don't have to be a Christian to be part of our church. It's not on us and them. It's like we're people. Let's just come along. Pray they belong and become part of it. Pray that it'll last, that whatever decision that they've made will last and that they'll progress on. And pray they help others. As I mentioned, I know lots of people who've helped others to consider the Christian faith before they themselves have finally become a Christian. I've seen it loads and loads and loads in the different events that I do. So that's that resource. And maybe you could begin to introduce that into your life. Right. I want to be done by 15:15, so we're going to race through this reflective bit. Is that not a contradiction? Race through a reflective bit. Not sure, but anyway. Can we have some racy reflective music? Yeah. Just play Jesus Take Me As I Am fast. All right, that's... what I'd like us to do now, okay, and I often think I should probably get this made into a third resource as well. In fact, give me your feedback on that. If you think having this next bit printed, notwithstanding we are going through it quickly, if you think it would be helpful to have this next bit printed, then what we'll at the very least do, we'll get the PDFs to you so that people can have it. But if you think off the back of it, I know we're racing through, it's a bit hard to say, but just give me some feedback if you think it'd be helpful to have these next few bits. So if we had time, I'd show you this clip, but we're not. We're just going to put a freeze frame on there. This is, I'm sure you've seen this type of clip on the internet where these extreme sports people do these crazy things like hanging off ridiculously high towers. And anybody feel slightly nauseous when you see that? Honestly, some of the ones I watch turn my stomach. And so it is scary inviting people on a journey. I think there's a number of things that we can do to make it less scary, to normalize it. And I think half the battle is allowing our friends to say no without you feeling rejected. I think that's half the battle. So chill out about this. But what I'd like us to do is we're just going to have a little look at some of these slides. And we're not going to really get a chance to think through most of these. So what I suggest we do is if I just take you through them, say a couple of things about them as we're going through, and then at the end, we could just have a few moments where we are just nice and quiet. We'll keep the music playing, and then maybe you could, out of all of those, you could say, yeah, well, I identify with that one and that one, and bring that as your own personal private prayer. Would that be all right? Okay, so if we can, sorry, can we go back to the first one? Apologies. So just ask yourself the question, and am I fearful of sharing my faith or inviting people along? Do you have a fear of actually doing it? And then just reflect, how fearful are you? What may be cause? It could be bad experiences, you know, where you've stepped out and it's gone wrong. And just tell God about it and then pray with someone. Maybe you could pray about this with those threes that you're going to meet up with and just be really honest about it. Look at this lovely scripture. Just remind you of this. I think actually, go to the next slide, please. I think, did you read this one, this just beginning? It was that one, wasn't it? So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He's holding our hands, friends. Holding our hands. Okay, next slide, please. Being aware of God. When we're out in those vulnerable places, some of you feeling ill just looking at the photographs now. That is not my idea of a bank holiday camping, is it yours? But apparently that's a real thing. Oh, my word. So, yes, thank you. Let's move on. So when have you known that God was with you? Just in general, when you've stepped out and served him. You know those times when you've done it in fear and, like, God's been with you. And then, like, after the event, it's like, why was I ever even worried or concerned? And maybe particularly in the field of sharing your faith or demonstrating God's kindness. And just simply ask God to let you know that he's with you. And thank him that he'll be with you on the basis of this scripture here. Matthew 28:20. And surely I am with you always, the very end of the age. That references when we're making disciples. We use that verse so much, but actually it's only rightly activated. That verse, because God's always with us, but the promise of that verse is only rightly activated when we're making disciples. And you can do evangelism without making disciples, but you can't make disciples without doing evangelism. So they have to go hand in hand. Seeing the opportunity that's around you, both where you live, both where you're situated as a church. We'll not use this building as an example today because you're obviously moving on, which is really exciting. But maybe just begin to think, even geographically as well as personally, what are the opportunities around us? What are the opportunities that you have? Oh, brilliant, thank you. What opportunities would you like? Let's begin to get bold in some of our prayers, saying, Lord, I'd love to be able to invite this person, or share my story with this person where I've never been able to quite do it before. And then just spend some time praying for those opportunities to come. Could we have the next one? Harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. It's never been a problem with the harvest. It's all about the workers. God's already at work. We just need to crack on. Thank you. Those I know already. I've already got established relationships with some people. How can you begin to pray for those? Who do you know well that you could begin to pray for and maybe invite along? Who can you start to get to know better? So you take the postman that I mentioned early on. How can you progress those? I've made a commitment before God that I'm going to try and reach every person in my street with the gospel. Some I've done it with already. Some I'm just building relationally. But I'm trying to build authentically. I'm not just, right, yeah, number 7 this week, number 9 the following week. No, it's just about creating the space and in amongst that, hopefully, some opportunity to share with them. So who can you start to get to know better? And I think with all of this, it's quite important just to keep praying for authenticity, isn't it? That we keep in the back of our mind, we want to be real and not just abusing people so we can share. Love this. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found. Next slide, please. We have found. Invite him on those that they know around them. We have found. And then look at this for a scary image. Whoa. So me and my mate, I wouldn't stand on that. He'd stand on that and jump up and down. And look, I know it's not going to move, but I would be proper worried about it, wouldn't you? So, could you offer yourself to God? Don't worry about past failures. Are you willing to be willing? Let me just say something about that. We'll show you a scripture, then we're going to pray, and then I'm going to hand back over to John. This is a great verse. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. He said, go and tell these people. So, that last little point, just before the verse, we don't need to go back to it, it's fine. I just put, are you willing to be willing? What I'm going to encourage or invite you this morning is I know that the very thought of saying, Lord, I'm willing, is too much for some people. Because that's actually quite scary. And there's certain things in my journey with God, I am more than willing to say, God, I'm willing. But there's other things I'm not so willing. But I am willing for God to make me willing. Does that make sense? I'm willing for God to somehow work in me and shift some focuses so that I become willing. So I'm willing for God to help me to become willing, but sometimes I'm not willing and open. Anybody else with me? Please, it's not just me. That's Christian. Good to know. Good to know. So are you willing to be willing when it comes to sharing your faith? And will you go in faith? It is a step. It is a jump. But are you willing to go in faith? And you know what? Watch what God will do. Let's pause and we'll pray. So yeah, just a reminder. What out of those really grab you? What out of what we've reflected about this morning are you most excited about, least excited about, most fearful of, least fearful of? Let's just pause for a few moments. So we've got the music playing in the background. And just be honest about that. Bring it to the Lord. Lord, we just simply bring ourselves to you. Lord, help us to be willing to be willing. We humbly submit ourselves to you, Lord, with all our weaknesses, with all our failures. And yet, Lord, what you've done in our lives, we really want others to experience. And so we just pray for wisdom and boldness and sensitivity and authenticity. Help us to not go ahead of you, but help us to not lag behind you. Help us to walk with you. Thank you that you are at work, Lord. Lead us to those places, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you, folks. Sorry it's gone on a little bit later. I just didn't want to race too much. No, it's not tough.